Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 39, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we talk with Kristen of the blog, The Frugal Girl. Kristen was lots of fun to get to know. I had actually been following her blog for a couple of years, and so I was so thrilled when she agreed to be interviewed. Kristen has a very loyal following on her blog, and her readers love to comment and share, which is something I know we all want to have on our blog, is lots of interaction. Kristen has some great insight on why she thinks affiliate links work so well for her on her website. And she also shares how, at first, the effort of writing an ebook, she wasn't sure if the payoff was good enough, but then an opportunity presented itself and definitely made her ebook worth all of that effort. So come on and join us. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the show, we are so excited to welcome Kristen from the blog The Frugal Girl. Kristen lives on the East Coast with her husband and her four kids who are all homeschooled. Kristen writes to inspire others to live on less and do it cheerfully. She writes picture-filled posts about the practical, day-to-day ins and outs of frugal living, and she's also passionate about green living and preventing food waste. Frequent topics of conversation at The Frugal Girl are recipes, DIY projects, frugal home decor, and learning to be content. Much as Kristen loves bargains and savings, she doesn't live for them. She lives for God, and frugal living is one of the ways she serves him by serving her family. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Kristen, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got started with your blog?
Sure. I'd been reading blogs for a little while back in 2008 or so, and one day when I was cleaning out my fridge, I looked at all of the food that I was throwing away, and I thought that I would be really embarrassed if anybody ever saw how much food I threw away, because I've kind of known my circle of family and friends for being interested in saving money. So then I had the bright idea that maybe I should just show all of my food waste to the whole world. And so I came up with the idea of starting a blog about food waste, where I would post a picture of the food I threw away each week to help motivate me to use it up. So I started that in March of 2008. And after a couple months of blogging there, I decided, hey, I really like this blogging thing, but the topic of food waste was a little bit limiting because there's only so much you can say about it. And people had been telling me for years that I should write a book about frugal living. And I thought, oh, that's too much work. I don't have time to write a book. So I thought, well, I could write a blog about frugal living, because then you can just write a little nice bite-sized post instead of having to write a whole book. And I could roll the food waste thing in with the frugal living thing. So July of 2008, I started The Frugal Girl, and I made Food Waste Friday a feature of that blog. And all these years later, I'm still posting pictures of my food waste on the internet for the whole world to see.
Now, your articles about food waste, that turned into a partnership with, is it GLAAD that you're partnering with on a big food waste project?
Yes. For the last 9 months or so, I've been working with GLAAD's Save It Sunday program, which is ongoing. My partnership with them is done, but the program is still ongoing. So that was great. I was very excited to have a food waste program happening in the U.S. because the U.K. has all these cool food waste initiatives and stuff, and here in the U.S. we don't really talk about it very much. So I was glad to see it being talked about on a national level. The more people know about it, the more they can realize that this is a big deal, and they can learn about what they can do to avoid food waste. So yeah, that was great.
How did that partnership come to be? Did they approach you, or were you part of a network that matched you together? How did that partnership happen?
Yeah, they approached me. They just sent me an email last fall letting me know about the program. They just were looking for a couple bloggers who already were blogging about food waste, and I was one of them. So there's not a lot of us out there who are talking about food waste. So I don't think it's a huge pool to choose from. Food waste isn't like a really appealing kind of topic, you know, like cooking or fashion. So but I'm one of the ones who's willing to take it on.
I love that. I love that you're taking a topic that really wasn't talked about and you're bringing attention to it. And now there's a national conversation about it. So that's really cool.
Yes, I'm delighted about that. I would never have thought that through my blog I would be able to reach this many people. And it's interesting that I am inspiring people because for many, many years I was just terrible about throwing food away. So I think that's good though, because if I could change, then there's hope for anybody, because I am not naturally awesome at using up all my food.
Good encouragement for all of us.
So, Kristen, as a mom of four who also homeschools them, what does a typical day look like for you? How do you manage homeschooling your kids, being very frugal, and also blogging about it?
Well, I never get everything all done. I don't do all the things that I would like to do, but I feel like I do manage to get the important things done. My blog is not a full-time job. I don't spend anywhere near 40 hours a week working on it, and it's just me working on it. So that gives me some limitations as to how much I can pour into it. Generally speaking, the time I spend blogging is early in the morning. I get up before my kids get up, and I write my post for the day and share it on social media and take care of all the email that comes in from my blog, which is a lot. I didn't used to have this much email. That's kind of tough to stay on top of. So the actual writing happens in the morning, but because I'm often blogging about just things that I'm doing, and because I always blog with pictures, that part of the post just kind of happens organically as I'm doing things. If I'm painting a piece of furniture that day, I take pictures of it. If I'm cooking something, I take pictures of it when I'm cooking it. When I need to do a menu post, I just take pictures of our food every night. So the actual writing happens in a neat block in the morning, but then the content creation and documenting what I'm doing for my post, that kind of happens randomly throughout the day. And throughout the day, I also will check back in and moderate comments and respond to comments and things like that.
I must say, your pictures of the food that you prepare for your family, your pictures of like your dinner meal that you show, you always make it look so beautiful. And I compare it to like the pile of stuff I put on my family's plate. And it seems like you really make an effort to make the food you serve look beautiful too. It just makes me want to put more effort into presentation of the meal as well.
Well, to be honest, when I take a picture of food for my menu plan, I will make up a plate that looks neater than the plate for like the rest of what we're actually eating, because, you know, a lot of times I just serve things family style at the table. But to take a picture, you know, I'll dish some up an individual serving on a plate and stick it by the window so there's nice light. I don't for all six of us look quite that neat every night for dinner.
Photography is, though, a passion of yours. Is there another like photography tip that you could give other bloggers to improve their photography?
Oh, wow. There's so much to learn about photography, and I still feel like I am learning so much, too. I look at other bloggers' pictures sometimes and think, oh, my pictures are terrible. But what helps is to not compare my pictures to other photographers, but to go back and look at my blog post from maybe 4 years ago, and then I can see, yeah, I got better at this. Right. Tips for people, move whatever you're taking a picture of to where the light is good. If the light is horrible in your kitchen, there's no rule saying that you have to take a picture of the food in your kitchen. You can put it out on your deck or in your living room by the window, or just make sure you get whatever you're trying to take a picture of in nice light. And if you're taking pictures of food, put it on white dishes. So much better.
Good to know.
Great tips. So, Kristen, with the growth of your blog and now partnering with brands, is there an accomplishment in your blogging business that you're proud of?
I would say probably the thing I'm most proud of is the relationships that I have with my readers. I know some bloggers don't have as much of a sense of community with the people that they're writing for as I do, but I love that my readers leave comments and respond to things I post and have conversations with me. I have a great time talking to my readers in the comments of my blog. It's one of my favorite things about blogging. I don't think I'll ever turn comments off, even if everybody else does, because I just love hearing from my readers. So I'm proud of that. And I think I'm also proud of the fact that even though I didn't start out to make my blog a business or start out to make the front page of Google, that just by blogging and trying to serve my readers by sharing helpful posts and consistently producing content, I've still managed to make it to the front page of Google for several keywords like how to paint wooden furniture. My blog is the first thing that comes up.
Wow.
And I don't really work on SEO or other stuff like that. And just so I'm grateful that just by trying to serve my readers that I've experienced success in more traditional ways of defining success.
That's really great to hear. I love that you're focusing on your readers, on those relationships, and producing great content. I also wanted to mention, and I love your reader Q&As that you do. Can you talk a little bit more about that, how you developed it and what the response has been from your blog readers?
Well, as most bloggers do, I get a lot of email, people asking me questions, and instead of spending time writing them back directly, which will only benefit them, I thought it would be nice to answer their questions publicly with their permission. They know they're asking a question to be answered publicly. I'm not sharing people's deep, dark secrets in my Q&A posts. So that's how that got started, just trying to answer the questions in a way that is efficient for me. And also, it also gets the readers' questions in front of a larger audience, because I have some good answers sometimes, but I have this big audience of people who are wise and experienced in ways that I'm not. So a lot of times they have helpful advice for my readers. So that's been a really great thing. It's kind of a community building thing too, where readers are helping other readers with their problems and sometimes offering a solution that's a little different than mine or something I didn't think of.
Sounds good.
That's great. Yeah, that's good.
Before we lose track with the whole Google thing, even though you weren't working on your SEO to get those high ranking posts, do you have any idea of maybe what you did accidentally to get the high Google ranking, or you're not exactly sure how that happened for you?
SEO is a confusing subject, and there are lots of differing opinions about it. And when you get right down to it, nobody knows for sure how Google decides what gets on the front page. So even the experts aren't completely sure how Google's algorithms work. I think something that helps is to write content that people find useful, because I know when content gets shared socially, it ranks a little higher in Google. I also think I titled my post How to Paint Wooden Furniture without doing any research, but apparently I just titled it what I thought I might Google if I was trying to find out how to paint something I got from the thrift store, and I guess that title, it was good keyword-wise, but I just kind of happened across it. And I had lots of pictures in the post, too, which makes tutorial posts a lot more helpful. So maybe that helped it to rank highly, too. I don't know, but I'm glad it worked.
Me, too. So with your success in growing your blog, has there been a low point in your business? And how did you push past that?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, especially as homeschooling my kids was starting to take more time out of my day, I got a little bit burnt out and overwhelmed, which was not because I was tired of writing about frugality or because I didn't have ideas, because I always have more ideas than I have time to post about. It was really more about not having enough time to do what I wanted to do, and also with the blog, and then also have time to homeschool my kids. So I pulled back a little bit. I used to post 5 fairly meaty posts every week, Monday through Friday. So what I did is I changed to a meaty post on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then for a while, I didn't do anything at all on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I also was maintaining a 365 project, which is a separate blog where I was just posting a picture every day, which is kind of a fun project. But I stopped doing that which also gave me a little bit more of my time and sanity back. And then, I don't know, last 6 months or so, I've started doing a 365-ish kind of thing on Tuesdays and Thursdays, where I used to not post at all, but now I just share a picture and just a few words on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which is really fun because I love taking pictures and it doesn't take very much time at all, and it lets me share things I might not have space to share on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So that's made my blogging a lot more manageable for me, rather than having to produce 5 pieces every week.
I think that's smart advice to adjust as not only as your blog changes, but then as your family situation changes as well. So that's good advice.
Kristen, I love that you took a low point and you used that to reevaluate how things were going. You made some changes and you pushed past it and you're still doing great. And you realized that you didn't necessarily have to produce those insane amounts of content that you were producing before. You could still give your readers a lot of value with a few less posts a week. So that's great. Let's talk income for just a second. I know you have some ads on your blog, and I believe you've worked with sponsors as well. So if you could share a little bit about how those things work and a little bit about the different ways your blog brings in revenue.
Sure. There's lots of different ways that I earn money from my blog. I do have sidebar ads, but that's not the only thing that I do. It's multiple streams of income, which is great. I'm glad to not have all my eggs in one basket. It's a little confusing come tax time, but otherwise it's great. So I do have sidebar ads, which I belong to a couple of ad networks, and then I do sell some ads privately. So that's really simple. They just sit in my sidebar, and I just deal with things like pop-ups sometimes and autoplay ads. I try and make the ads so that they are somewhat unobtrusive. I hate it when I go to a blog and there's pop-up ads and pop-over things and things that are playing music. It's really overwhelming. And even though there's lots of money to be earned if you put those things on your blog, I really don't want to make my readers miserable. So I opt out of all of that stuff. So sidebar ads are one way that I make money. I also do sometimes partner with brands, like when I worked with Glad Save It Sunday promotion. I've worked with Cabot promoting some of their water-based stain projects. I've done sponsored posts with them where I do a project and then post about it. So I've been doing more work with brands, it seems like, in the last year or two. It seems like brands are moving more from sidebar advertising to working with bloggers to create sponsored content. So I enjoy doing that. That's a fun way to be able to earn some income and share new things with my readers. I also do flip programs, which is basically where I have a referral link, and if somebody makes a purchase or signs up through that referral link, then I get a kickback from the company. So this actually works really great for me because I don't do it all the time. If every day I was posting, hey, go buy this product through my referral link, I don't think that that would work very well for me. And it also wouldn't mesh very well with the whole theme of my blog, which is like, you don't need to buy all the things. So I try to be really careful about what I promote through affiliate links. Generally speaking, I only use affiliate links for products and services that I've actually used and that I love, because that way I'm given an authentic recommendation. So I don't want to promote something just because I could get paid for it, because that doesn't feel right to me, and I don't think that serves my readers for me to do that. So I try and be really careful about that. But the good thing about posting affiliate links just here and there is that I think they tend to convert better on a case-by-case basis than if I was flooding my readers with affiliate links all the time. So even though I'm not selling out and promoting everything under the sun, it still has been a good source of income for me. And it doesn't cost my readers anything. So it's a pretty win-win kind of relationship.
That makes a lot of sense that your conversion rate would go up. Because I know when you've reviewed kitchen gadgets and things like that, we all know that you're in the kitchen a lot of the time, and we know how carefully you select your kitchen tools. So honestly, when I read a post about a kitchen appliance or a, you know, baking pan that you recommend, I know it has to be fabulous because You don't do it all the time, and you're very thoughtful about all of your purchases. So that's nice that it can be a win for your readers, because they know that if they do purchase, they're getting something that they are also going to really like and appreciate. So
right, that I'm not just promoting something because it's on sale at Amazon. It's whenever I promote something, I want it to be something high quality that will last, will serve you for years to come. And maybe it'll be more expensive up front, but then you can use it for 30 years and your cost per year will be lower. So yeah, I try to be careful to promote stuff that will provide long-term value for my readers.
Excellent. Is there an online tool or an app that you use to either stay organized or that has helped your business to grow?
As far as organization goes, I am hopelessly old-fashioned. Every month, I print out a paper calendar, a free printable paper calendar, and I plan out my blog posts that way. I've tried using some things like Google Calendar, and I just cannot get into this whole electronic planning thing. So paper works really well for me, and it's not expensive, and I just use the other side for lists when I'm done with my calendar, and then I recycle it, and it's all good. As far as tools I use WordPress for my blog, which I really love. I use Akismet for my spam filter, which is really great, but I don't really use any online productivity tools. Maybe I would be more awesome if I could do that, but I think it's just hopeless.
I just read an article on Time Management Ninja where this lady wrote that it is could be more productive to use pen and paper for to-do lists or something. So I felt better about that too, coming from Time Management Ninja, who has tons of, you know, apps and tools that he uses. But he did have a guest post article about the advantages of pen and paper. So we can feel good about that. But what is Akismet? Maybe Beth Ann knows about it, but I'm not sure the spam filter that you use, or how does that work?
Oh, it's a service that I use as a plugin for WordPress, and basically it filters out probably about 98% of the spam comments that I get on my blog. At this point, it's like thousands a day that I get. Occasionally, I look at my spam filter, which is a pretty scary place, and I'm always surprised at how many comments are in there. Sometimes one sneaks through, but most of the time, I don't have to see my spam at all, and Akismet works to filter out the spam without me having to use annoying things like captcha phrases for my commenters, which I really hate. So this allows them to leave a comment without having to jump through hoops, and I also don't have to deal with a tremendous amount of spam.
Sarah, we actually did used to use Akismet on our old blog because it's great. It's a great service. Now we use Discuss for our comments, DISQUS, I think it is. So then they have their own spam filter. Definitely need a spam filter. It's insane the number of comments you can.
Yes.
So Kristen, you mentioned that you're in several ad networks for your blog. Can you talk a little bit more about those and which networks you like and the process of signing up to be part of an ad network?
Sure. It varies a little bit depending on the ad network. Some ad networks will let anyone in, like Google AdSense will take pretty much anybody, and others are more particular. The ones that are more particular about who they let in typically pay a higher amount for the ads. Anybody can get into AdSense, but you have to have a lot of traffic to earn very much money with them. The main ad network that I've been part of has been Blogher, which is an ad network for women. So you do have to go through an approval process for Blogger, but they do approve even fairly small blogs because they want to be supportive of all women who are blogging. They have some requirements for their ads, like that they have to be above the fold, so you can't put them in a spot on your blog where you'd have to scroll down to see them. But the upside is that with those stipulations comes higher rates. So there are other ad networks too, depending on the niche that you're in. Other ad networks could be a better fit for you. I've been trying gourmet ads, doing a test run right now. They run on blogs that share food recipes. And I also know that there are a bunch of ad networks for things like fashion blogs, and there's probably one for almost every niche. I'm also giving a company called Lenista a try right now. that's been working out pretty well too. So if you're looking for an ad network, I would check on blogs that you read that are in your niche and see what ads they're running in their sidebar. If it's not labeled there, then maybe contact Blogger, and that could give you a good idea of what might work out for the particular niche that you're blogging in.
That's great advice, and thank you for sharing so much information on ad networks. I know our listeners will really appreciate that. So, Kristen, can you tell us a little bit more about the ebook that you wrote? How did you market that ebook, and how have sales been for that?
Well, I wrote that a few years ago. I initially had the idea to do a larger ebook. I was going to tackle the topic of Christmas, and it got a little overwhelming, so I thought, well, I'll try something really easy, just like 20 things to do with old clothes to breathe new life into them. And it's good that I started with something simple because, man, it's such a big job. Even this relatively simple book like that requires so much time and energy. I did it all myself, so I was formatting it and photographing everything and making the tutorial collages, and I didn't have any idea what I was doing because I'd never done this before. So it took me a lot longer than I thought it was going to. And it sold fairly well when I released it. I didn't do anything super fancy for marketing, except I sold it for 99 cents on the first day that I released it. So at first I was a little like, I'm not sure that was that much, that there was enough reward for that to make it worth how hard it was to write the book. So what really kicked the sales of my ebook into high gear was participating with some bundle sales. I participated in an ultimate bundle sale a couple years ago, which is a huge grouping of ebooks, probably 100 or so, that readers can buy for around $30. And as an author, you get higher percentage payout for people who buy the book through your affiliate link. Then I thought, yep, that was worth it. I've also participated in a few smaller bundle sales since then, but that was a worthwhile experience too. So the main reason I would consider writing another ebook is so that I could participate in bundle sales, and not so much so that I could sell it myself, because apparently I'm not super awesome at marketing my ebooks on my own. So I have mixed feelings about that. If you can participate in a bundle sale or you're really awesome at marketing, then I would say, yes, ebooks are a great way to go. But otherwise, I make more money for my time if I just focus on blogging.
That makes sense. Thank you so much for sharing about the bundle, because I have to say you've cleared up some of my misconceptions on that. I kind of assumed that if you were getting 30 ebooks or 100 ebooks for $30, that how are the authors making any money? That's what I was thinking. It's, you know, like, there, how much then is their ebook valued at? 33 cents or something like that. So but that makes sense what you said about your affiliate link. Then you're earning a higher commission off of that. So that's really interesting. Good for people to know.
How were you able to participate in that ultimate ebook bundle? Did somebody contact you, or did you have contacts, or?
Yeah, they contacted me. The people who run the ultimate bundle sales, they're always scouring the web looking for books to include in their next bundle. I had no idea that there was such a thing. So I wouldn't have even known what to go looking for. So all the bundle sales that I have participated in, I have not initiated. People have just emailed me. So that's great. I didn't even have to do anything.
Well, except put out good content and all your, you know, that is doing something. So,
do you mind sharing, Kristen, the website or the blogger who hosted that big ebook bundle?
I believe their website is just ultimatebundles.com. It's Stephanie and Ryan Langford and Aaron Odom. It's two couples that work together, and they do these once or twice a year. Sometimes they do a healthy living bundle or a homemaking bundle. But I believe their website is ultimatebundles.com. If you Google Ultimate Bundles, you should be able to find it.
Great.
So, Kristen, your blog stats are really very good. The number of your email subscribers, your Alexa rating, things of that nature. Is there a single biggest factor that you think has helped to grow your blog so well and so quickly?
I think there are a number of things that are at play. 2008 was a good year to start a blog. because there weren't nearly as many blogs back then as there are now. It's really exploded in the last 5 or 6 years. So I think timing is part of it. Also, what I blog about was pretty timely too, because things not been awesome economically. I didn't start my blog to try and take advantage of that, but it's been good timing because people are interested in saving money, and because so many people are interested in saving money, people aren't really embarrassed about it anymore. Being frugal is way cooler than it used to be. So I think that has helped. And then I think just consistency and perseverance. I don't do anything super amazing on my blog, but I'm there all the time. I consistently produce content. My readers know that I will be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I know sometimes if a blogger just posts randomly, sometimes I lose interest in going to their blog because then I don't know if there's going to be something. So I think just being consistent has helped my readers to stick with me because there's always something new to read or new picture to look at.
Excellent.
So, Kristen, how do you define success with your blogging business, but also in your personal life as a mom, as a wife?
Blog-wise, I think one of the things that makes me feel successful is when people email me and they tell me that I've inspired them, that something I've blogged about has changed their lives. Some people have like decided to stay home with their kids as a result of reading about what I do. And so it's kind of humbling to think that I'm here typing away and changing people. It's sort of crazy because blogging is one of those things where it's hard to get a sense of how many people you are talking to because it's just me here at my computer screen typing away, and I can't see all the thousands of people that are reading what I write. So sometimes I'm still a little taken aback, like, whoa, people are reading what I'm writing and it's making a difference for them. So I really feel like that is one of the biggest measures of success for me. If my blog is positively impacting other people's lives, then I feel like I've done a good job here. Financially speaking, I feel like my blog has been successful. Sometimes when I read about full-time bloggers who are earning $100,000 a year, then I think, wow, I really am terrible at this. But something good for me is that I didn't start my blog to be a business and to earn money. And so I have very low expectations for what my blog will produce. So in the first year when I earned $18 a month, which was enough to cover my hosting fees, I was ecstatic about that. I was like, this is awesome. And then, you know, when I joined Blogger and I started getting checks that were $100 a month, I was very excited about that. So I think having, in an odd way, having low expectations for my blog has helped to keep me going, because I think if I started a blog and thought I'm going to earn $50,000 a year with it, then it would be hard to keep going because blogs are kind of like a slow cooker versus a microwave. Some people experience overnight success, but usually it takes a lot of hard work and writing for 30 people a day before your blog really makes it and gets big enough to get you enough traffic to earn money. So I think having low expectations was really good for me personally.
First of all, I love the slow cooker versus a microwave analogy. It's rich in food. And secondly, for those people that are trying to start a blog to make money, people who did it on accident are very frustrating because everyone thinks, oh, well, they didn't even set out to do this to make money and it's working for them. And you know, there are so many other people that are trying to, you know, do it to make money. But I guess the takeaway is just keep working at it and keep persevering. And I mean this in jest. I hope you realize the whole frustration.
I also think if you pick a topic to write about that you really love and that you are passionate about, then that can help keep you going during those tougher months when you're just first starting your blog and you don't think that anybody is reading what you're having to say. And also blogging about something that you really love will help you to keep coming up with post ideas. I'm 6 years into this now, and I still have more post ideas than I have time to write about, even though I've produced thousands of posts by now. If you pick a topic that's too small or that you're not that excited about, it's going to be hard to hang in there over the long haul and keep producing content that helps your readers and entertains them. So I think topic choice is really, really important.
That's very good advice. Kristen, do you have a favorite business resource that has helped you to grow your business?
Yes, there are a couple of websites that have been helpful to me. ProBlogger.com, which is a website started by Darren Rouse, who's in Australia, has been really helpful to me and probably to most every other blogger on the planet. Lots of great tips about blogging and producing content and SEO if you want to go down that road. So I would definitely recommend that. Another great resource, especially if you are thinking about starting a blog, is if you look for amylynandrews.com, I think you'd be able to find her. Or if you Google blogging with Amy, she has lots of great stuff for bloggers, a really easy series about starting a blog and where you should find hosting and all kinds of great tips. And she also provides lots of helpful content for those of us who have been in the blogging game for a long time. I learn new things from her all the time. So definitely a great resource.
Isn't she the one that has the time management book as well?
Yep.
Okay. I had no idea that she also did blogging resources and tips and things like that. I will definitely check that out then.
Kristen, we've learned so much from talking with you today, and I'm so excited to put some of this new advice into practice. And I know our listeners have learned a ton too. Can we wrap up with either a funny or an adorable mom moment that's happened recently?
I forgot to think about this one too. I don't really have a funny story to share, but I can talk a little bit about my kids and blogging. My kids obviously know that I blog. I've been blogging for actually most of my youngest daughter's life. She was 2 when I started blogging, and now she's 8. So I don't think she remembers life before I had a blog. She probably just thinks this is totally normal. So a couple years ago, I had the idea to start a blog for my son, both as a way for him to earn a little bit of pocket money and also because he likes taking pictures and he would do it sort of sporadically. So I thought it would be fun if he started a 365 blog project because then it would make him take pictures every day. And he's done that for several years now, and back at his first pictures and his pictures now, it's been a crazy transformation in how well he can use his camera. Even though he is still using just a junky point-and-shoot camera, he does some really great things with it. He switched to a 52 project now, where he just posts one picture a week. But I'm really happy that I had him do that, if only for the growth that I have seen in his photography. I don't think he'd take as many pictures if he didn't need to post one every day. And it's also fun for him when readers comment to him and encourage him and say, "That's a really great shot, and you've come so far." So he really enjoys that. My oldest daughter also has a blog that I started with her a couple years. It's called Baking with Lisey, and that's her name, Lisey. And I started it because she really wanted to learn how to bake. And so I thought a good way to make myself do this would be to blog with her. So every couple weeks we try a new recipe and I take pictures for her and we write the post together and share a recipe with readers. So that's been a fun way for her to do something with me and for her also to learn a little bit of pocket money as well.
What a great way to involve your kids in what you're doing and they're learning new things as well. That's great.
Yes. I'm raising a couple of entrepreneurs here.
Excellent.
Yeah, we love that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, Kristen. It's been a pleasure. We've had so much fun chatting with you. And before we end, what would be the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you, or where's your website, things like that?
Sure. I'm The Frugal Girl pretty much everywhere. So if you go to thefrugalgirl.com, you'll find my website. I'm The Frugal Girl on Facebook. I'm The Frugal Girl on Instagram. I'm The Frugal Girl on Twitter. And I'm also The Frugal Girl on Pinterest. And my email is thefrugalgirl@gmail.com. I'm really easy to find as long as you can remember The Frugal Girl.
Love it.
That's great that you were able to get that name on all of the places. I would imagine you would have had to jump on those site like from day one to get that.
I'm kind of surprised too, because I am a late adopter. I had the Facebook and Twitter quite a while ago, but I didn't get Instagram until January. It's been only like 9 months since I've joined Instagram, and it was still available. I was a late adopter with Pinterest as well too, but I guess nobody else wants to be the frugal girl, so it was still available. It's taken now.
That's great. That's great. And thank you so much for talking with us today. It was really fun.
Thank you so much.
I was so excited to actually talk with Kristen after following her blog for a couple of years now. That's kind of one of the really fun perks of this little job is I can ask to speak to and interview other women that I have found interesting, engaging, insightful over the last few years, and it's not weird. I mean, I couldn't just, you know, send her an email and ask her to Skype, but if you ask her to go on a podcast interview, she says yes. So I had a great time being able to actually talk with her and get to know her a little bit better, and I hope you enjoy that as well. Kristen sure had some great advice for us on growing a successful blog. I know that a lot of the great advice that Kristen had for us will be useful to a lot of you new bloggers out there. It sounds like blogging is, it's just a long road. You got to keep being consistent. So I know that all of you will be working really hard to keep up that consistency. And we will too. We love to hear from you guys as much as Kristen loves to hear from her followers. So please send us an email, say hi on Facebook, leave a comment on the show notes. If you've never checked out our show notes before, you should definitely do that. Head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com and you'll find the show notes for all of our episodes. And Bethann does a super good job of being very detailed on her show notes. And there's lots of great links so that you're not trying to remember, oh, what did they say? I can't quite remember what they said. What book was that? What website was that? What author? What blog? It's all right there for you. So you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. And then head back over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com for the show notes. Because, you know, Bethann's putting a lot of effort into those, so we need you guys to come and at least take a look and see all the good work that she's doing on those show notes. So like I said, please find us. Please say hello. We are just so enjoying getting to know all of you brilliant business moms. So now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.